Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring available sync. Now you can control your media player with simple voice commands. Enjoy your drive while you easily search and listen to your favorite songs. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 82, recorded on Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012. Happy birthday, Dad. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell. Happy birthday.
And I'm Ron Richards, and I'm all fired up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Richards is, like, pretty much permanently caps locked right now.
Really, I'm perma caps lock.
We are, I'm kind of mellow today.
Yeah, I'm a little mellow. It's been a long day.
I can only swing in either direction. Well, last week I was a zombie. This week I am amped.
Yeah, we gave you a donut before the show.
Yes, I had a donut.
You've got two Snapples, and you're all fired up about a certain product that was announced today. And we're going to talk about that and lots of things.
Yes.
Lots of things.
Man, that's a great tease.
Don't you love that?
And also, you forgot stuff.
Is there going to be stuff?
There's going to be tons of stuff.
How could you not love this show when there's stuff and things?
Stuff, things, and rage. Here we go.
We set the bar high. All right, so hey, it feels like eternity ago. So when I was prepping the show notes, I almost forgot to even announce that Google made an announcement about an event. I was going to tear right into the news about the event, and then I was like, wait a minute.
Wait,
it's been so long.
Right.
This happened so soon after our show that we haven't even mentioned it.
About events.
Yes.
That's our sub-show.
Google announced an event that we all saw coming, of course. The playground is open, as they said on their invite. Next Monday, October 29th. Of course, we have our show the following Tuesday, so we'll be able to talk all about it next week.
We'll be able to kind of like take it in.
Yeah.
And, you know,
absorb it
before just blawing.
Finally, our show being at the beginning of the week isn't a detriment to the freshness of our news. It's like perfectly timed.
It's what we've been dreaming for over a year now. It's finally happening.
It totally took a year. At least it happened on one of the more important events.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like an LG event.
A source.
You said it, not me. I did not say it.
See? All caps locked over there.
There you go.
A source told The Next Web that Google detailed the technology set to be unveiled at the event in a video from one of their all-hands meetings. Here's what we supposedly know as a result of that. And I'll just run through the list here. 32 gig, Nexus 7, which we're already seeing. These are kind of already available, I think.
I think
they've shown up at Staples and stuff. Also a 32 gig Nexus 7, which with HSPA Plus.
Interesting.
Nice.
So that's very cool.
That's
a lot of people.
What I've been wanting.
Yeah,
I wanted the bigger data storage and data.
Mobile network connectivity.
Yes,
I'll be curious
exactly
what the price point on that is.
Me too.
Yeah. Samsung Nexus 10 tablet, codename Manta, which we talked about, I think, last week. Manta was appearing in, Android Police had kind of a write-up about that popping up, so that would
A great code name. It's a strong code name.
You know, it's going to change is something that's it's going to change probably into the Nexus 10, so that's not too horrible, actually. Running 4.2, Jelly Bean, not Key Lime Pie, so, you know, more of this information is kind of pointing to the fact that we still aren't seeing Key Lime Pie. 2560 by 1600 pixel resolution, 300 pixels per inch as compared to, well, the iPad 3 or whatever you want to call it, the old new iPad.
The old new, I know, because it's old now.
264 points per inch. So an upgrade potentially over that offering. And I don't think that's changed with the latest iPad, whatever they're calling that.
Yeah.
The LG Nexus 4, we've talked about that plenty. And pretty much everything that this leak is about is kind of spot on with what we've been talking about there. And as far as 4.2 Jelly Bean is concerned, something called Content in the Center, which is kind of like, I don't even know why this is touted, but it allows users to access Play Store content from a widget. Whoa, from a widget? Now, wait a minute. Okay, now, let's back up for a second. Isn't that already on the Nexus 7? I feel like when you get the Nexus 7 and you sync your accounts, it has a widget that shows your content, but as well as recommendation stuff.
Can you use the content from the widget? Like, is it a little video player? Is it some sort of...
I think it's just a portal to that actual content,
it's a way for them to sell
right?
more stuff. Whatever. Hey, it's a leak, so they got it, the information.
It's probably slightly adjusted,
something. There's got to be something there.
But the latter part of this is pretty cool.
Awesome tablet sharing, which I mean we've talked about plenty on this show. You know, tablets are the kind of device that you might want to share between family members or hand it off to a friend or a roommate or whatever. And so having some sort of user switchability, the way you have on a Windows PC or a Mac PC, whatever, would be really useful.
Fire has that now too, don't they?
Does the Fire have that?
I think it does.
Wasn't there something about
that?
They buried that in the whole lead, but I think
we
that
had
was
this
one
exact
of the...
same conversation when we talked about the Kindle Fire. Like,
it's as if we've been here before.
The Fire to the new Kindle Fire.
That's the Fire too. Okay. Also, updated panoramic camera to support horizontal as well as vertical.
Finally.
Sure.
I don't even know how to do panoramic. I've never taken a panoramic photo ever with anything.
It's so much fun. It's so easy.
I'm sure it's fun, but I've never had the desire to be like, wow, I really want to capture the majesty of the... I mean, I know I need to go to the Grand Canyon. I get it. I know, but I haven't.
Yeah, the problem is you'd try to capture the majesty of the Grand Canyon, and you'd go, wow, that didn't really do it justice, and then you wouldn't use it again for that reason, maybe.
Exactly.
But it's a nice feature to have,
I'm
gonna
find my panorama for you and just show you and just, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure, yeah. Well, it's gonna
rub your face in this panorama. You will appreciate.
Panorama's awesome.
And then finally, we're getting a little bit more about 4.2 Android Police and their kind of breakdown of the APK that they got from a leaked version of 4.2. And I think we talked a little bit about that last week, some improvements to the gallery, and then more confirmation about the multiple user stuff. I think for me, the big deal here with 4.2 is the multiple user stuff. I mean, that's not necessarily, I can understand why, given what we know right here anyways, this isn't a more kind of drastic upgrade, a version from Jelly Bean to Key Lime Pie. It's definitely an incremental upgrade, but these are some, well, that's some.
Honestly, I think it's too soon for Key Lime.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think
do it, too. Yeah, we just got it over the summer. I don't want another OS that's going to set apart other phones.
Right.
You're just worried about that fragmentation. That's what you're worried about.
I mean, this thing doesn't even have JB quite yet. So. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow. Well, then.
Fine. Stupid S3.
Supposed to come at the end of the month. I've been waiting for you.
Well, it's early still. It's not the end of the month yet. We're towards the end. Just be patient.
October 23rd?
Yeah. Sorry, I've had it from the get-go.
Okay.
Anyway. But so did it really show up in Staples?
Yeah,
the 32 gig.
Bought it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
They just stocked the 32 gig ones and didn't say anything. That's great. That's hysterical.
Yeah,
there it is.
I mean, yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly.
Skew.
There's the skew. So
whoops.
I wonder how many were sold before someone thought to go report it to a blog.
But did they pay for the 16? I mean, the 16 gig price, and then they got the 32 on accident, or is it actually the 32 gig on sale for?
That's a good question. I mean, this device, I believe, was sold at the same cost. I know that 16. That's what the rumor is that the prices are not going to change.
Wow.
But
right,
you know,
and then
it's
the
rumors,
low
right?
end would the rumor is the low end would be $99.
Yeah, you paid $250 for the 32 gig.
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
Great. Wow. That was, how about that? Cool.
I would be
sure. There we go.
32 gig right now. Can I swap?
So, oh, by the way, we should precede all of that with a big spoiler alert. Because you now know potentially what the event is going to be. It kind of takes a little bit of the magic away, doesn't it?
Yeah, we might have to edit that back in, actually, before we give everything away. No, but the speculation.
It's speculation, but a lot of speculation for a lot of devices have come to be true recently.
Just on this before we move off, Wall Street Journal's multiple Nexus devices by year's end now, if this is to be true, pretty obvious that they were right, but it's not necessarily what some people were hoping, which was multiple Nexus phones,
right.
devices. And I mean, this is cool as well. I do wish that they would open it up to more phones. You know what I mean? We'll see.
It's tough. And speaking of phones, I know one of the ongoing themes that we've been discussing about is Google's acquisition of Motorola and what that means for the phones. And we really like the Razer Max and what they're doing there. But it's got all that bloatware and Verizon, all that stuff on Motorola's software. Well, we got a little insight, and I have to file this under the Having Your Cake and Eating It Too file. As Motorola Senior Vice President of Product, Rick Osterlo, kind of clarified the company's focus moving forward on their phone platform and software and how close they're going to be to a stock Nexus device. And what Rick says is that going forward, we're going to try to be as close to the base as we can be, base meaning Android stock, kind of like a Nexus phone, because we think that's the right thing for users. We think users also want fast upgrades and upgrades for their phones over the long haul, so we're going to focus on that as well. It's a little bit different from what a lot of the OEMs are doing and certainly what Motorola did in the past, but going forward, that's going to be our strategy. That said, though, he also clarifies that when it comes to Verizon, they're going to let Verizon stuff onto it as well, too. So it's kind of like one hand is saying that what we want to hear, but then the other hand is just falling in step with what Verizon's demanding. So.
Well, and what they also, in this kind of interview, alluded to, Osterlo said, we're going to have to do some customization. What did you say? Our interest is to make it as close to Android as possible, and generally we negotiate somewhere in the middle. Our partners sometimes want those customizations, partners being carriers.
Yep.
So they're kind of offloading, you know, part of that responsibility on the carriers. It kind of, if that's true, it sheds a little bit more light, as if people didn't know this already, but it sheds a little bit more light on just the power of the carriers over the influence of this type of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they have the kind of the final say in that negotiation of whether that device comes on their network or not. And, you know, as badly as we might say that a Nexus or a vanilla device is important to Android as a whole, that without that customization, there's no differentiation.
Right. Well, and I think that this other quote that he says totally kind of speaks to it, where he says, our interest is to make it as close to Android as possible, but generally we negotiate somewhere in the middle, which means that, you know, listen, we're going to play ball, which is kind of subtext is that there are contracts, there are dollars behind it. Verizon is notorious for this. They want everything to look Verizon-y and for it to be Verizon branded and all the money Verizon's put into the Droid brand. I mean, like, so much of Android awareness to the general population, I think, has come from Verizon's marketing around Droid, and that people, layman, average person on the street connects Android with that Droid brand.
Oh, yeah. You know. Did I tell you that story that my girlfriend who just got the S3, she called this. She's like, oh, I just got a Droid. And I thought,
no, you didn't.
It's not a Droid phone.
Well, actually, what you got was a phone running Android, but it's not a Droid-branded phone.
I know, it's got TouchWiz, and it's not vanilla, but congratulations, you have a great piece of hardware. But
fine, I'm selling it and getting an iPhone.
But the good news is that at least that they're saying that Motorola is now publicly saying what we kind of want them, not what we want them to say, but what we want to hear, and generally with these sort of things, it can move at a glacial pace. Mm. And so just the fact that change is beginning, that maybe it'll take a year, maybe it'll take less or longer, but you'll start to see, you know, and I imagine, if a stock, Android stock, Motorola, Nexus Max, Droid, Nexus Max, whatever came out, I would totally consider it. I love that phone. I think that phone, the hardware on that phone is really, really nice. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's ever stopped me is all the Verizon bloatware.
Right.
So, and the Motorola bloatware, so.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we have a little email. Actually, we have a video mail from Bill Russell, who is giving us an app tip. He says, I haven't heard you guys talk about this yet, but I wanted to tip you off about a great live wallpaper. If you're watching the video, you could see it looks very Star Trek-y.
Oh,
it has three areas of six customizable buttons to open up apps. Two of those areas can be turned off if you don't want them. It rearranges itself very well when it rotates and has some great sounds. It's only $1.69, so the cost is pretty good. It's definitely worth checking out. He made this little video for us. Let me make sure I get the right name of the app.
That's cool. Hey, anytime you want to get any of us nerds excited about something, put it in Star Trek Next Generation L cars.
Stardate.
And it works.
So yeah, so the interface essentially looks like, what do you call that? It's Star Trek wall, Star Trek live wallpaper. It's $1.79, Bill. At least right now. And
I mean, I'm considering it. I'll be honest with you.
You're gonna
considering it. It's very cool.
It's like a workstation, so when you press certain buttons on the wallpaper, it launches certain things.
It's like the desk in front of Data or in front of Jordy. They do the thing. That's awesome. You remember back when the iPad first came out and mm-hmm. we were looking at RSS readers and there was that LCARS reader and I bought the heck out of that one and I'm going to buy the heck out of this one.
but once you assign all of those buttons that don't say what the app is.
I know. How do you use it?
I mean, how do you actually use it?
If you went to Starfleet Academy, you would know what V7847 did.
If you're dedicated enough, you spend enough time with it to know that V7847 actually launches Pandora.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Any entry-level Starfleet engineer knows this.
Launches IMDb. I mean, just come on.
Such
don't you know that?
Noob.
Hey, I really like that app tip. So thank you, Bill, for making the little video for us.
That's very cool. I want it.
I just want that alarm.
Yeah.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring Sync's versatile entertainment features. You can do a lot of things with Sync that tie directly into your device, and that's why it's so cool, such as browsing. You can browse your music collection. You can do that by genre, album, artist, playlist, song title, all by using your voice to make those commands. You can search through playlists, create playlists. It actually allows voice-activated control of your media player. It'll even play a list of music you're in the mood for with a command. Yes, well, carry on, Paul. With commands like play similar music, using that as a voice command, and it will do that with your device. Listen to your entertainment on most any device. That voice control will control your music no matter how it's stored. If it's on your smartphone, and that's done through Bluetooth streaming, it can also do it off of your USB drive, MP3 player, iPod, iPad, all that kind of stuff. It also has iTunes tagging. You don't actually need to worry about remembering the name of the song you just heard. Available Sync with MyFord Touch and HD radio technology with that iTunes tagging actually lets you tag a song that you like and then transfer that info to your iPod to make a purchase of the song directly from the iTunes store at a later time. Best of all, Ford offers Sync on almost, well, every, actually, 2012 and 2013 Ford vehicle sold in the USA, including the 2012 Ford Focus. You can learn more about all of this, as well as other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. And we thank Ford again for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT network.
Thank you, Ford.
Thank you, Ford. All right, let's get into hardware.
To talk about a pretty phone right now.
Is it a phone that flaps
in the wind? It flies! It's a little butterfly.
Wow.
Wow, I love that. Hey, in Tokyo announced was the HTC J Butterfly. Just this video itself. Okay, the screen is stunning based on this video that I'm looking at or that we're about to see. It's a 5-inch 1080p display and it's running Jelly Bean. And it's got a quad-core 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, 2 gigs of RAM, and an 8-megapixel camera. Just if you're watching the video, I guess I'll try and describe it. But, you know, it's another phablet contender, I guess. I don't think there's a stylus, but 5 inches is pretty, you know, pretty huge.
What's the line of phablet?
But look at that screen.
That's always the question, right? Because that's very close to what?
4.7 S3 is 4.8. Mm-hmm. I was kind of blown away by the screen at least, and I'm sure that phone has been manhandled a lot, and I don't really see a lot of fingerprints. But look at the gorgeousness of that screen. He's just going to go, you know, picture to picture to thing on there, and I just think
it's very reflective.
I don't know. There's something about it. Just is really, like really, really nice. They say it's 5-inch full HD Super LCD 3 screen with a 440 PPI resolution. It's supposed to be 9.1 millimeters thin, very slim. With a 2020 milliamp battery. We don't expect this phone to be released in the States, but there is a version of it that is possibly going to be released via Verizon called the HTC DLX Deluxe. I don't know. It looks like a nice phone. It sounds like HTC is still working on bigger and better. You know, they're kind of trying to, obviously you have to always improve your line. I was very impressed with what I saw. I mean, it'll depend on when I, you know, if we actually get our hands on a unit that is similar to that one. I don't think that one's coming
to the States. Yeah, it sounds like it's probably likely that it is going to hit Verizon at some point. Mm-hmm. 1080p display, I guess on a 5-inch screen. Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I would love to see.
Right, it looked good on that video. I mean, that's all I got to go on. But
I just think like 1080p on a super small display, mm-hmm. kind of at the, you know, diminishing returns point at that point, because it's kind of like, okay, well, how much smaller can it really get? And how much higher def can it get when your eyes can't see that much of a difference? But I mean, when you consider also that it is a 5-inch display and it's not a 4-inch, so it's a little bit larger, a little bit more space for those small pixels.
So I've been using, you know, obviously
probably looks really good,
using the Nexus for a while now, 4.7-inch, and I'm over the whole size factor. I've gotten, you know, used to using this, and you know, I'm fine with the bigger screen. And then I got my hands on the Motorola Razr M.
Uh-huh.
It felt so tiny.
Yeah.
At 4.3, it felt so tiny.
You can't go backwards.
It's a great phone, but man, I was like, this is super small.
Every time I grab someone's iPhone to look something up,
yeah,
I'm just like,
so
this is like a toy. Like, how do you do this? It's so
weird. I never thought I'd get to that point, but I've just been using this exclusively. So when I go to a smaller phone, even though it's a nice one, I'm like, oh. And some people just don't get, like, how do you use it? I'm like, you can totally do it, even with my hands.
I do like when I get the reaction, somebody just this weekend, someone's like, why is your phone enormous? And I'm just like,
big. And honestly, I love watching videos on it when I go landscape and it looks
great. Well, like I picked up, I said this on the show a couple weeks ago when I went back to my Nexus S to get some files off of it. I'm like, how did I ever use this phone? It's tiny. It was
Totally. I got the Nexus S back from you. Yeah. And picked it up and I was like, wow, it was not long ago that this is normal. It is now, it is so not normal.
So my question is, you know, the 5-inch screen, now we're getting bigger and bigger. This S3 is 4.8.
Yes. It's going to be entirely normal for us to have a 7-inch screen in our
pocket. This is going to be normal, do you think our hands are going to evolve? Like, is there going to be an evolution thing where our fingers will get longer or something like that?
Yeah, remember, because houses, like Victorian houses in San Francisco, you know, like the doors are smaller because people were smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like The Simpsons where you go to four fingers or something. We're going to evolve
and
We're going to be using the same form factor of tablets for hundreds of years to come. Oh, long enough for that change to happen.
Hey, Ron, I'm going to wait.
Because clearly, the changes in the technology come so far between.
Yeah.
It's not like
it's going to be at least another couple of hundred years before we have a revision that changes it drastically.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the HTC J Butterfly.
Yeah, I think it looks great. You know, anytime we talk about the new HTC hardware, I just can't help but hope that HTC can kind of turn the ship a little bit.
Because
it wasn't long ago that they were at the top of my list of favorite manufacturers, and they've just kind of...
Where are they now?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, if you had to do that list right now, who's the number one manufacturer? Samsung?
Oh, God, that's a really... I guess it would have to be Samsung only because of just the sheer amount of devices that they have coming out that are so marketable. I mean, it's really hard to put my finger on because there's something about HTC that I love about the design of their phones.
Agreed.
But then the experience of their phones, I used to not mind so much, and now I really do.
That's not stressing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So who's in between them and Samsung then?
I don't know.
Speaking of Samsung,
I haven't thought of this. I mean, you know, Motorola is not bad also, specifically because, again, their hardware... I guess what I'm realizing is hardware means a lot to me.
No, as it should. I think it should. But speaking of Samsung, I rarely watch television with commercials, but this weekend I saw some, and I saw the Samsung commercial about the guy waiting in line for his parents in the Apple line.
Is this the
fun. Yeah, is this the line
it's
for apps?
Favorite.
The suggestion of that is, if your parents are waiting in line for it, it's not cool. Which I was like, that's good advertising. Like, they never said it clearly. It was just, it was very suggested. And everyone in that line all of a sudden felt much uncooler because parents were waiting in line. Like, that's awesome. Like, that
thanks,
was
honey. Good.
Yeah,
okay.
Well done. Yeah, have fun. Don't be out too late. You know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Exactly.
I'll give Samsung credit. They're doing good.
Real quick before we go on, because now my mind is working. Asus is great, but Asus doesn't have
phones, yeah. right? They need to do that.
The because, pad phone is coming.
Okay, it's the pad phone.
Yeah.
No, but meanwhile, coming. We totally nobody's, got nobody's emails that were like, Jason, you know, has totally said that no one's going to want a pad phone. It's like, I didn't say that. I said it's a niche product. No.
It is.
Not everybody's going to want it. That's the other side of that. Anyways, Motorola. Okay, let's get back to Motorola here. We had talked many moons ago about their $100 trade-in program for those devices that wouldn't be upgraded to Jelly Bean, and they've released that schedule. So definitely take a look if you have a Motorola device and you aren't miffed at Motorola to the point to where you won't be getting another one, because that's kind of the other side of this. They'll give you $100 if you trade in for your Motorola for another Motorola. So you got to actually.
But do you
want
pay?
Another...
Do you
I've
only
never even
get
heard
off...
of these phones? The
do
Motorola you... Admiral. I want that phone.
Now, the $100, is that like on off a two-year contract, or does it have to be an unlocked phone?
Oh, that's a good
question. I'm just curious. Like, hey, I want Jelly Bean, so I want to get rid of my Admiral, and I want a Max.
I don't know why you're getting rid of the Admiral. That's a sweet, handset. Or the Milestone.
How do you know?
I don't know.
It's probably running Froyo for all you know.
You call it an Admiral, and I'm
running Froyo. Ain't no Admiral here. Jason,
I don't. I'm looking it up. I don't
probably
think
either
that
or.
There's any distinction.
It's probably either, it's, right? You can get it unlocked, or you just get a new 2-year contract.
Ultimately, what it is give us the device, we'll give you $100 for whatever you choose to do with it.
That's not bad,
within
there's some
these
sales.
Guidelines.
There's some really good sales, especially with Black Friday. There's certain phones going on sale.
Yeah, but anyways, this is good on Motorola for offering this to begin with.
Admiral.
What's that?
Cool. That's a sweet phone, the Admiral. So are we moving on?
Yeah.
All right. Ron is on fire.
Actually, do you mind if I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you know what the time schedule is on this? Like, at any point, can you jump on this? Because I know that my family, when they upgraded, they all got X2s, and this is on the list. But they're not ready to upgrade right now. They're probably ready to upgrade in a year.
When does it end?
Yeah,
so do they have. Yeah,
And reading the article, I don't see it. I didn't know if.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at the Motorola site here, and you know,
your family should be able to upgrade. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe on the trade up page itself they specify, but I'm not seeing any sort of end date. Although I doubt that they're just leaving that wide open. That would be kind of strange. So I guess my answer is I don't know, but they're not saying specifically, so I imagine you have a good amount of time.
Yeah.
I would hope that they'd give some forewarning, before they end up saying, oh, nope, you can't do it anymore.
Right.
We made the change yesterday. We didn't tell anybody. You can't do it anymore.
Nope.
That would, that would upset some people.
All right. So.
All right, Ron, go.
Normally, this show is dedicated to all things Android.
You've
Look,
been
Eileen
waiting
just got
for
excited.
This.
Oh, yeah,
this is, I just realized what I've we're been, about to get into. Okay,
I purposefully put this at the end
at
of the hard
yeah,
work.
We might, Chad, we might run a little long here. All right, so if there's any breaking news, you hold it back, okay?
Right, this might be the breaking news.
Yeah. So earlier today, there was a little event from the company across the street that we affectionately like to call Apple. And on the show, we generally, we stay to Android, and we try not to do too much iOS bashing or Apple bashing and that sort of thing. We try to be very neutral. Hey, we all use Macs. I enjoy my MacBook Pro. That's my laptop of choice. I have an iPad. I'm generally Apple friendly. During these events, I tend not to watch the live blogs and tend not to watch them. I just turn off Twitter and I just put my head down, and it gives me an hour to work while everybody then is all just heads are being exploded by, a presentation, which always kind of got me scratching my head because, whatever. I'm all for theater, but whatever. But for some reason, I was like, well, iPad Mini, this announcement's coming. I'll tune in. I'll watch it. So I'm watching the iPad Mini, and now, they're going through how great the iPad is. And
because they're actually streaming
it. How everybody loves it and how everybody, it's great. And I'm reading along, and then they announce the iPad Mini, and they show it. Okay, that's interesting. All right, it's a little fatter. It looks kind of like a big Galaxy Note. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then a little funny thing happened. A little funny thing happened. Now, from my understanding, and I could be wrong, but Apple very rarely historically in these presentations directly compared their products to competitors.
That's what I heard too.
They will often make allusions, they'll make suggestions, but very rarely have they up front shown it. But no. This time around, for
they went full Monty.
They went full Monty indeed. Jason gets crazy. They went full Monty. So Phil Schiller, right? Phil Schiller is the dude who was presenting the iPad Mini. Goes through the specs, goes through, announces it, and I have what he said here. He said, "Here we have an iPad Mini on the right, and the new Android tablet on the left."
Which is the Nexus 7. Yes. They showed off the Nexus 7.
Let's compare them. And actually, Chad, I'll give you this link. It's in the chat room. I'm on the Verge's live blog. It's like all the way down, if you want to scroll down. 10:56 a.m.
Please get there because I need to prove to everybody.
Yeah. So at 10:56, he starts saying, he says, let's compare them. And they put up on the screen a shot of the iPad Mini and the Galaxy Nexus 7. Never really calling it the Nexus 7, just called it
an Android tablet.
Scroll up a little top so you can see the words exactly. Scroll other direction. Other direction. He says, here we have an iPad Mini on the right and the new Android tablet on the left.
Oh, so, they didn't even want to say the name.
Exactly. So this is quite often what happens when bullying happens and wow. other form of victimizing where they remove the name, mm-hmm. they remove the identity of the target. So let's just keep that in mind. So this is the new Android tablets on the left. Let's compare them. Let's look at the bezels around the display. All right, yeah, let's look at the bezels. Okay, fine. Let's look and see how the iPad Mini has a thinner bezel. Fine. Theirs is made of plastic. It's thicker and heavier. All right.
It's really not that heavy.
Right, there you go.
Anyway.
Let's look at those displays. Theirs is 7 inches. Ours is 7.9. All right.
Which means it's not going to be as easy to hold in your
Which
hand.
Means I'm not going to be able to put it in my back pocket as easily. There you go. I'm predicting right now the iPad Mini will fail the back pocket test.
I'm predicting now that people are going to get hand cramps because this is very easy to use. If you have a Kindle Fire, you know what I'm talking about because the Kindle Fire is fatter. Yep. And it actually, when you at least for me, my hands, it gets a little crampy.
So they're talking about the bezel. They're talking about the plasticness. Then he's going saying how the iPad Mini has a third larger display area because, again, Apple needs to redefine aspect ratios and redefine display sizes. And when I saw the iPad Mini, I'm like, oh, that's kind of oddly square-ish, like, you know, square rectangly. And then he goes through this whole big comparison with Chad, if you want to show up, where the number one thing people do on their iPads, surf the web, and compares the actual physical inches, square inches of browsing the web, which just seems kind of a little just distracting. Okay, it looks like they wanted to, you know, directly take aim at Google and try to say, show this is why if you want a smaller size device, this is the one to go with. So what I thought was interesting was to look at the comparisons that they didn't mention. Actually, if you scroll down a little more, they further go down and compare. They talk about apps and they compare the Yelp app versus the iPad app as well as the TripAdvisor app, saying that the iOS apps have beautifully designed apps that are great for the tab that are designed for tablets. And all Android has is phone applications that are what is the exact word he said? He said, dead air. He's a phone application scaled up.
I'm riveted. I'm just waiting to hear.
Which
what
is
you have
annoying
to say.
because that is not Android's fault. That is the developer's fault. And he could have shown any number of Android tablet apps that mm-hmm. we've seen on the show that are beautiful. Just mm-hmm. because Yelp and TripAdvisor have chosen to scale up their phone apps. So whatever. That's not here or there. But so that's where the comparison stops. So he looked at the bezel, the plasticness, the size. And apps made by people that neither Apple nor Google could have control over.
They should have shown Instagram because it looks great on
exactly.
the Nexus
7. Exactly, yeah, exactly. So what he failed to talk about is the fact that they both have 10 hours of battery life, so it's equal there, right? He failed to mention that the iPad Mini has a lower resolution than the Galaxy Nexus 7 or the Amazon Kindle Fire or the Barnes & Noble Nook. All right. Failed to mention that the iPad Mini is running a dual-core processor while the Nexus 7 is running a quad-core processor. Okay. Failed to mention that. Well, I'll give them the camera. They do have a better camera. But then also failed to mention that the iPad Mini with a slower processor, lower resolution screen, despite it being physically bigger, is practically just under double the price at the mm-hmm. at the starting point, at $199 compared to $329. So while normally I know I'm ranting here and I'm going a little crazy about it, but
that's okay. I'll just leave you.
It got my panties in a bunch, man.
I'll give you two more. It doesn't have a micro USB. You have to have a proprietary dock connector,
right?
Yeah, proprietary dock connector, and then on top of that, no NFC.
Right. Well, NFC. I mean, yes.
People can live without that.
I'm not going to go touting how great NFC's changed my life.
Right.
Although Google Wallet, I love. But anyway. But don't know. I just thought it was really cheap. And actually, if I was an Apple fan and if I was someone looking at it objectively, you know, I don't want to say Steve Jobs is rolling over in his grave, but this is it was a aggressive tactic that I think shows Apple's hand that how worried they are about Android.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first thing I thought of is like, wow, they're actually worried about this device.
Yep.
And what's going to happen when Google marks down the 8 gig, which I think that they're going to do. You know, the 7-inch tablet market is going to finally kind of get a big lift and boost. And then people are going to start comparing prices. And, it's kind of weird, too. I mean, and I suspected it might be weird, the iPad mini in terms of pricing as compared to the iPod Touch, as compared to, you know, where does it fit for them? Looks like they're getting rid of the iPad 3, which is now the fourth generation. I'm very confused. So it seems like they're trying to insert this device, and then they don't even give a Retina display, which personally I was disappointed in. But
I couldn't even, when I was going through looking at it, that the resolution was lower. And then also the price is what gets me. So their resolution on the iPad mini is 1024 by 768 with 163 pixels per inch. And while the Nexus 7 is 1280 by 800 with 216 pixels per inch, you know, and that PPI number is one that can be debated whether that's a tighter number or not, but still it's a smaller resolution. And what cracks me up is that, so the iPad mini just Wi-Fi alone, 16 gig is $329, 32 gig is going to be $429, whereas the Nexus 7, 16 gig, and now we're finding out 32 gig is going to be $250.
Yeah.
So like what are you paying extra for? You now I had this conversation with folks, and we talked about it with the Kindle Fire and we talked about it with the Nook before the show we were talking about, because I don't know, I might have missed the show, I might have not been on, we might not have talked about it, but Barnes & Noble released a whole bunch of refresh Nooks that are actually pretty nice and they're pretty good looking, but you said your biggest concern over the Nook was the platform.
Yeah. I mean, am I going to pick that over the Kindle Fire?
Right.
Probably. If I'm just talking about those two devices, probably not. Am I going to pick that over the Nexus 7? Just because of the accessibility. I mean, Barnes & Noble doesn't have a great ecosystem.
So it's the same scenario where if you are an iPhone user and you want to get a tablet and you're on that Apple ecosystem,
you might want to
just stay
here.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you're missing out, it's a crappy device or anything like that. I get that. If you're an Android user, Nexus 7 is your choice. There are kind of clear lines there. We have, admittedly, we'll find out next week how aggressive Google gets, but we haven't seen any marketing around Google going, and this is better than Apple. Like, the calling it out publicly just cheapened the whole thing in my eyes.
Well, we'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
True. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
they might say a few things in retaliation or just to defend or something. I don't know.
And don't get me started on the Lightning connector. Come on. You know, like, universal serial bus, universal USB. Like, why can't you just stick with what we all, you know?
Ron, I think you did a really good job sort of breaking that down.
Well,
I was riveted. I just wanted to listen to you.
I just thought it was very unfair to if you want to throw up the comparison and focus on the plastic or focus on the size and ignore the processor and ignore the stuff I don't want you to hear about. Like that just in terms of consumer awareness, I think people should know. People should know. Mm-hmm. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Is that a Dixie Chick song? I think it is. Yeah, it is.
That just undid the entire rant. No, but I don't
sorry.
Know. I just thought it was really, really cheap of Apple, and what has been associated with an elegant brand and a classy brand and a rising above brand.
Well,
I think they lowered themselves a little.
You could look at the other side too, which is that, as you said, Apple doesn't normally do this. But the fact that they felt the need to do this legitimizes kind of the power and influence of the Nexus 7 and of the emerging tablet ecosystem. This is actually a great opportunity for developers really kind of create and make their tablet apps better, because by and large, Apple, you know, whether you like it or not, Apple has this weird tendency to legitimize things just by saying it and making it true because of that. Mm-hmm. So in a strange sense, for some people, now the 7-inch form factor or 7.9-inch form factor, the smaller tablet form factor, is legitimate, right?
Yeah.
So developers on the Android platform have a perfect opportunity to create an even better tablet app for a device that costs $130 more but is still very legitimate in those people's eyes. You know what I mean?
And honestly, this should be a wake-up call for developers. And like, look, the competition just calls you throughout. Yelp, TripAdvisor, whomever else that they showed in examples or anything like that, you need to make better – you need to make tablet-optimized apps, and you need to show up. Because guess what? Millions are in the – well, I don't know, millions, but hundreds of thousands are in the marketplace now. And
20s
listen,
of people
are – listen, there are a lot of these devices out there you're really going to want to design for. No, but I mean – and like you said, I mean, Instagram is a great example.
Oh,
of,
it's great. It's actually not optimized for the iPad, but it is for the Nexus 7.
Exactly.
It looks great. I mean, you have to double size it on the iPad, and you know, it looks fine.
And
that
they
way.
Have phone scaling, too. I mean, it's like – it just – it's maddening. It's maddening.
Yeah.
It's like literally, I understand that a certain part of it is we create our realities,
right,
and I can get
reality.
Up on stage, and I can, and Lord knows I've done it about products I've worked on and things like that, where you focus on the differentiators and you focus on the positive and you try to sell it across. But I think it's, you know, and luckily we've seen a lot of non-Apple bias sheeped journalists making the comparisons and clearing it out, but the blind faith, like, oh my god, it's so much better, I need it right now, just drives me bonkers. Especially when another friend of mine who is on the iOS platform, has an iPhone, has a Mac, all that sort of thing, was like, yeah, I really want one that size, but I don't want to spend $329. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think the price is getting everybody, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially knowing that there are these
alternatives.
Other alternatives that are a lot cheaper and pretty much do enough.
Yeah.
Does a lot.
I've got on long enough. I'm just saying, it irked me, and I was quiet all day about it, and I just had to talk.
You let it out. Do you feel good?
I feel better.
All right.
So I just want to help people. That's all I want to do.
Oh, I loved it. That was actually a very passionate delivery.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say rant. It was
the more you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't hate Apple. Clearly, I don't hate Apple. But
just that delivery, that tactic.
Well, you call out my friends, and I'm gonna step up. You know, like that's what happened. I mean, they called Android out, and that's our peeps. Come on, guys, we gotta rally around this, right? So
all right.
Well, let's kick some butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Kick some butt.
It's time to put the thumb ring on and kick some butt.
Well, not you because you're watching, but you know, behind you. Yeah, you. Yeah. Okay.
Should we move on to email? Yeah. All right. This is from Matt in Tennessee. Hey, guys. I have had a long run with iPhones, speaking of which, but I am really tempted to switch to the Note 2 AT&T when pre-orders hit Thursday. I'm ready for the change. I still have the GS, you don't even have a 4.
Jeez.
Wow. And to be honest, you're going to love the Note. Honest, I am not really sold on upgrading for no other reason than I am getting tired of the same old iOS environment. I feel you. You're going to love widgets too. I am sure you all have talked about it on the show, but I would appreciate a go, no go for the Samsung Note 2. If not, what would you recommend? I am long past due for an upgrade with AT&T, and $299 sounds like a good deal for the Note 2. Would you get one? Pros, cons. Thanks again, Matt from Tennessee. You know, going from a 3GS to a huge phablet might be a shock.
It's like,
I don't know if you want to just go to the GS3 first, Matt. But having said that, I've spent some time with the Galaxy Note 2. It's fast. It has Jelly Bean. This still does not. And, you know, has a stylus. And I actually like the Spen. I think it's great to have it if you don't lose it. It actually has an alarm, supposedly. Like, there's, like, various alarms if you leave it off of your... if you have it somewhere, you lay it on the table, and you have the alarm activated, it'll say, ding, ding, you know, don't forget, put it back into your phone. I think going from the 3GS to the Note might be a shock. So you might want to do, like, a little trial, maybe, like, for 2 weeks, and then decide... And then maybe go to the GS3. I don't know. It just you're going from a 3.7-inch device to a 5.3.
It's like saying, hey, listen, I've got this Geo Metro that I've been driving for the past 20 years, and it's great. It gets me around. But I think I want to upgrade to something. I'm looking at this Maserati. What do you think? Should I do it?
What are the pros and what are the cons?
Sure, I don't know how to drive.
3.5?
Stick,
but, 3GS is 3.5? Oh, geez.
Yeah,
okay,
no, it's tiny. 3GS like is looks it's tiny.
So
compared to the Note, which is like a movie screen.
Look, I think the Note is a great device. I really do. I think it's great for certain people. But again, you might want to give it a little trial run before you know, really make your call. Because I think you can 14 days.
Yeah, I was just going to say, most carriers have a return
yeah,
you know, a time period that you can use the device. Just don't get it scratched or anything. Take really good care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And use it for at least a week, I would imagine.
Yeah,
at least
you know, you're going to love lots of things that you can do with it.
Don't trust us. Just check.
There's motion-based stuff. There's just, I don't know. I think you're going to have fun with it if you like to tinker. So, I think you should go Android.
Leo loves it. Leo's a big fan of it.
It's just the size factor that I think might shock you more than the OS. Especially if you're just wanting to dive in Android, you're like, I just want a new OS. Great. You know, Jelly Bean is awesome. And that phone does have Jelly Bean. So that's a thing going for it versus as I've brokenly, you know, my broken record thing about this not having Jelly Bean yet.
Wait, does that not have Jelly Bean?
I missed that.
So mad still. I'm still so mad about that. So mad. Okay. So, good luck, Matt. Please let us know if you enjoy it. I tell you, you like the widgets. You're going to like everything.
The land of no segue.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know where to go with that.
Apps. Let's go.
We need some sort of...
We need a bell.
We need a transition.
It's like, all right,
we need a transition alarm. It's like, I've got no out.
Your time's up. Did I tell you this doesn't have jelly bean yet?
As professional broadcasters, we try to look out for each other and throw each other a rope for the segue. But sometimes we just let you go out there. Just see how we'll get the apps.
Now everybody wants Jason to rant now. I've had a little bit.
I'm looking.
I had a long one.
I'm sorry.
So
anyway, well, this isn't so much of a rant, just more of a I didn't even realize this was a thing.
Oh, you didn't know it's your new icon? Okay.
No, I knew it's my new icon. That, but so for those of you who I'm running Google Nexus, so I already had it.
No, but it changed icons.
Let's tell them what we're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
Google Calendar updated. And so now not only do we have a new icon, but it is now available in the Play Store for folks who don't have the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus S to be able to download and install. So non-stock phone users previously have held back on Google Calendar. Now you can have it. It's totally free. And it's actually a pretty meaty app. It ties in all your Google calendars that you can do. It's got alerts. It's got pinch to zoom. You can change the zones that you look at, whether it's weekly or monthly or daily. I go weekly. And it's also got a snooze function, which is pretty cool for when you have events coming up. It's a nice little integration into your Google ecosystem. So now if you're lacking Google Calendar, you can go get it. So go to Google Play Store and go get it now.
Only if you have 4.0.3 or above, which is kind of a weird...
I was glossing over that point. Yeah.
Now he's glossing over that.
Interesting.
It was a joke.
I always appreciate when Google does this with their built-in apps, because then I just hope that it means they're going to update them more and you don't have to wait so long to see those updates. So,
but it also has a nifty new icon, as Eileen pointed out. So,
Love the icon.
It was green and now it's blue. Anyway.
Also, Mozilla is actually giving Android mobile users the first look at their anticipated Firefox marketplace for web apps using Firefox. Users of the Aurora build...
Because we need another marketplace.
but this is different. This is definitely different. Users of the Aurora build can get in on the action, though be forewarned, this is all alpha, very bleeding edge. Just to be clear, these are not Android apps. These are Firefox OS apps.
Interesting.
So, which is kind of what the Firefox marketplace is all about. They will run on the Firefox OS, the upcoming Firefox OS, whenever that hits, as well as on Firefox browsers. You can grab a copy of the Aurora browser from Mozilla's website to check it out for yourself if you're interested. So it's not really like apps, you know, like an app store, you know, with Android apps necessarily. But I don't know. I don't use Firefox or Aurora on my phone, so I don't.
I've used it.
But this is kind of, I guess what this is an opportunity for Android folks to kind of see what Firefox has going as far as.
Those Firefox loyalists are loyal.
Yeah.
They love the Firefox.
I used to be a Firefox loyalist.
Oh, I used to be a huge Firefox, and then it became a monster.
Yeah.
Like this memory leaking monster. So now I'm Chrome all the way. Did we talk about the Chromebook, by the way? Did I miss that show?
Oh, hey. Well,
we didn't.
I mean, you know, it's. Chrome-wise, but
I was talking about it. We got a little time, right? We're good.
Yeah,
we're good. I'm in a good mood. I was talking to my coworker today about it. And
the Chromebook, yeah.
About the Chromebook. And because we were talking about the iPad mini and all this stuff. And we're comparing the Nexus 7 and the phones. And, you know, honestly, at $250, if I didn't have to use Photoshop and video edit on my laptop so much, I would totally, and I also use Excel and Word and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, like, if I didn't have the media aspect with Photoshop and video editing, I think I would totally go to cloud-based and use the Chromebox for desktop and use the Chromebook on the road, because it seems neat. It seems nice. I mean, it's a MacBook Air, basically, but... Mm-hmm. But running all that stuff. I mean, I think.
And $350.
Right.
$250.
Yeah, $250. Think about that. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me roll on that for a minute.
It caused me to have longer pause and to consider it than I thought it would have. So I think this weekend I'm going to dust off that Chromebox and I'm going to have a Google I.O. and play with that a little. I'm close. Because then if I can keep one machine. See, the problem is the traveling. If I can keep one machine. Yeah. With the media apps, you know, or if there's some sort of cloud-based Photoshop that I don't know about or cloud-based video editing, which
Aviary,
I don't think there is.
I think.
Oh, Aviary, right. Yeah,
I haven't really tried Aviary. Yeah. There's actually an app, too. But
imagine if I went, think about that. Imagine if I went totally cloud-based.
Challenge him, people. Challenge him. In a world where Ron goes cloud.
Goes completely cloud. Google. I just go 100% Google. You never go full Google.
Ron's going cloud on today's All About It.
I'm tempted. All right, sorry about the little delay. I just thought it was neat. I saw the commercial. So. Email time. All right, so we got an email from Brianna Goldberg writes in. Am I allowed to say last names? I always forget. Brianna writes in and says.
They usually tell us when
right,
not to.
Not to. Yeah, all right. Anyway, Brianna writes in and says, "Hey, AAA team, I think I found the best Android in the wild. This is a photo of a musician playing on the C train in Manhattan.
Cannot wait.
Well, I've not gotten the chance to use the app. I think that he was advertising his CDs with the Nexus 7 hanging from his neck using LED Scroller Ultimate or a variant of that app. Thought you'd have a giggle with this one. Love the show." Now, what I like about this photo is that...
It looks like it's painted on, but really, it looks like...
I don't think it's LED Scroller because it's clearly Android.
It's a paint kind of...
It's some sort of, yeah, because it looks a finger type thing. Right, exactly. What I like about this is that either... Brianna has a great zoom on her phone or on her camera, or she just got up in this guy's grill
she
and took
did.
A picture. Like,
I
she got
she
really
did.
Close.
You must have, right, Brianna?
Like, what are you doing? Android in the wild, yo.
That is the best.
That's impressive. That is.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Brianna.
That was very cool. I like how you can see the home button and the back button.
Yeah.
Like, that's what triggered it for me during the Apple event, where I'm like, wait a minute, they're comparing it. Yeah. That's cool. So there you go, Android in the wild. That's good. Away. Good job, Brianna. Brianna, if we had an Android in the Wild Award, you would get it.
Totally.
So, this week.
This week.
All right. Let's jump into the arena.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
You know what, Ron? Can you just do all of our apps today? I think you should just do every app of ours.
I think the sugar kicked in somewhere about 20 minutes ago. You know, I like how Jason's just looking at me going, wow, is he going to shut up?
I'm telling you.
I wasn't thinking that.
My app is really easy. Just read it. You do mine.
I'm going first. Excellent. Let's go. Let's do the arena. Let's do it.
First, we have to check in on last week. Last week's poll. Let's see here. So the winner, Eileen, I believe this was you.
You guys like Free Flow. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, 46% of the votes for Free Flow.
It's actually Flow Free. Sorry.
Or Flow Free. Flow Free. That's my fault.
Yay.
Sorry. I wonder if anyone had a hard time finding it.
I still won.
Notif, second place with 33%, and Conjure with third place at 21%.
Thanks for voting, guys.
Thank you for voting. Always appreciate it. Let's start off. So we're going to have a four-person arena.
I know. Right. I did not have an app until half hour ago.
Well, you had an app. You were just telling.
It wasn't working, and then I figured out how to work it. But
and then you were going to bow. It was going to be a first. It was going to be all about an Android first.
Yeah.
When one of us was going to bow out of the arena.
I almost did that.
It was, as I called it, I said, wow, is this the beginning of the end?
I know. And then we asked Chad to step in. So he is going to do a review anyway.
Yep.
Because
absolutely.
We asked him, and he's prepared.
And it's totally an app that was on my short list.
Ha ha! That's right.
Chad has seen your shortlist, by the way.
Oh, wait a minute. I like Chad. I don't know about that, though.
Yeah. All right, but let's start with you, Ron. What do you got?
Is that a wise decision to start with?
I don't know. Should I just get a timeout?
All right, let me just go with it. No. Okay, cool. So I found a very pretty, very cool app. It is by who are the people who make it? Cloud TV, who are the people behind HD widgets, which you might be aware of from your use of HD widgets. So the app, it's a new app that they have that's in beta. The official release hasn't come out yet. They say it's going to come out this fall. But for now, it's free in the Android marketplace. It's a preview of an app, and it's called Dayframe. And basically what it is, in my pursuit of finding tablet-optimized apps that are beautiful that one could use in a presentation perhaps – Dayframe steps right up into that model, which basically giving you a great way to browse photos online, both from your own personal accounts or from feeds from various popular photo sources, whether it be Flickr, Tumblr, or Instagram. And it's a neat little browser for photos, but then also it becomes, if you have a dock for your Nexus 7 or your Android tablet, it becomes a great little desktop kind of dock thing to have on your desk, and I'll show you why. So if we go to my – here's my Nexus. And so it's a very subtle icon. You can't really see. It's kind of transparent. That's the one thing. That's the one con against it. The icon could be a little better. But so launching Dayframe, what happens is that it gives me this great little view of – and this is my Instagram feed, and I hope there's nothing inappropriate in here. If there is, I apologize.
Jason does not want to edit that.
Who are you following?
So so as you can see here, this is, you know, I kind of scroll through my Instagram feed. It auto detects the rotation, so it kind of flips around whichever way you are, you know, and it and right now I've got my Instagram feed, and you can do the full on Instagram functionality. So you get the photo, you get the whatever the comment the person gave it, how many likes there are, how many comments, and you can actually like it or you can comment it or you can share
it. And it'll show up on Instagram.
And it'll show up on Instagram. Cool. It's fully – so what you do is you just authorize your – you log in with your Instagram account and it authorizes and works perfectly. There's – you can choose – it's got the full Android kind of navigation style, so it's all very familiar. You could choose where the different sources are, whether my Instagram photos or they have the popular photos that are popular on Instagram – photos that are interesting on Flickr. They also plug into Tumblr. I guess Tumblr is some sort of interesting photo RSS feed. I try to avoid Tumblr at all costs because I'm old. But it was a joke and it fell flat.
You can be safe in Tumblr, I'm telling you.
And I know, but Tumblr scares me.
You just have to pick your...
I know, Tumblr, Reddit, all that stuff. I mean, I'm just...
Reddit, I'm afraid of, but
right?
Tumblr's okay.
Yeah, I know. Tumblr just bothers me. Anyway, I just don't get the Tumblr kids. Anyway, so... So this is the photo browser, but this isn't the real wow part of this app. Basically, so what happens is that you, let's say you go to work, you put your phone in the dock, and you just press play, and it moves into dock mode. And what happens is that it starts on the left side. You'll see
Ken Burns effect.
Yeah, exactly. It uses the Ken Burns effect to scroll through your photos from whatever feed you specify, and then on the right side you've got the time, you've got the date, you've got the temperature, and then you've got a very nifty voice search icon. So you can just tap something, and it will go right to Google Now to voice search. So
movie times.
Yeah, I was talking, so it picked up. It still thinks
movie times. Yeah, I was talking. It was picked up.
It says it, voice search picked up the right to Google Maps voice search. So what time? Yeah, I was talking to pick up.
That's right.
But anyway, I was using this at my desk today, and I thought it was interesting because I had it kind of propped up, and just like there was something I was curious about. I hit the voice search. I just said it, and it comes up right in the Google Now kind of web browser,
and I could see it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I don't know when I'd use the voice though.
Well, I mean, imagine.
I mean, I get it, but yeah, I just don't know.
Well, but it's a little innovation. It's something you wouldn't think of, you know? Yeah.
Like,
so
all this I get. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a huge button that I don't think I'd ever really push.
Right.
But I'm just.
You might.
Maybe. Yeah. By accident. And what is the music?
So in terms of on the settings, what you can do is you can adjust. You can turn voice mode off. So if you don't want the voice mode, if let's say you don't like it, you can just turn that off and it won't show up. So you can choose that. You can choose how much time is spent on the browsing of photos. You can choose to whether to keep the screen on and have a wake lock occur or not. you can, you know, again, specify how much time, you know, so it can be the kind of thing where if I don't do anything on the tablet and the tablet's on for 30 seconds, then it will go into that mode. Mm. And then when I'm on the photos, it's show each photo for 10 seconds. I can increase or decrease that. You can turn the sidebar off. So if you just want to see photos and not have the clock or the weather or anything like that.
No,
you know?
I want the clock.
Well, yeah, but these are all things that you can do. Yeah. And you can choose whether or not to show the photo details, whether you want to show the person's avatar and how many likes there are and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I might turn that off.
Yeah, and then additionally, you can manage your own personal accounts. And you can link Instagram, you can add Facebook, Tumblr, Flickr, or Twitter. So it pulls pretty much, I can't think of another place where photos would be.
Thank God you can't do Reddit.
Yeah, thank God. One thing that I would like, and this is a preview, so who knows if it's not fully featured, but one thing I'd like to see is RSS support.
Yeah.
If I know there's an RSS feed that I like to get as opposed to being stuck to the accounts or to whatever's there. Also, while I do like the photo kind of aspect, it would be nice to have like some sort of news, and I'm wondering if they're going to move this into, you know, like how to describe this. This is probably more like a dock browser, you know, so when your tablet when you're not actively using your tablet and you're at your desk, it's giving you information, you know, so while I'm typing and working.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see where the cloud TV folks go with it. For now, it's free, though, and it doesn't seem like it's, you know, it's nicely designed enough for me to grab it. So go check it out. Dayframe preview from cloud TV, totally free on the Google Play Store.
You aren't actually next, Eileen.
Oh. Ah.
I had you next, but you won.
I won. Yay. I go last.
You go last.
You're going to want to know about my app, cool. I'm telling you.
I like it a lot.
Good job.
Dayframe.
Hey. I'm going to pass out now.
Pretty positive my app has no chance, but...
Oh, now he prefaced that. So.
I still think it's very cool, and I'm sure five of you is going to appreciate it. Maybe more. I don't know. Did any of you ever play Zork?
No, of course.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
Oh,
it was old Infocom games.
North. Yes. You've hit a wall. East.
All right. Well, these are all part
of interactive fiction.
Door's locked. Yes, exactly.
Come on, everybody.
Now, see, all right. Three people, starting off strong, three people in the chat room. Nope. Whatever. You should. And if you haven't, I'm going to give you a way to check these out. When I was a kid, man, I have early memories of, with my Commodore 64, playing those early text adventures, Zork.
So much fun.
The Infocom games. But interactive fiction, just as a whole, is more than just Infocom. It's a whole style of game, and there's a whole lot of them. There's actually a database that you can go to called the Interactive Fiction Database. Well, that makes sense. ifdb.tads.org, where you can go and you can search for all of these different text-based adventures
and find them, including
Zork and Hitchhiker's Guide and everything. But you need a player to play these. And so the app that I have is called Twisty. It's an open-source app, and it actually reads. It's a Z Machine interpreter. And so it actually interprets these files that you can download from the database and turns them into an interactive game that you can play, text-based adventure, on your Android device. There isn't a whole lot to this. And it's because it's text-based adventure, it's not that exciting to look at. But I basically loaded up, you know, Zork 1 and Zork 2, which I have on my device. And then it'll just kind of display it. Oh, is my display too ramped up too high? Well, it's just small text, but I don't know if there's much I can do about that. But it basically, this Twisty allows you to hop through your text-based adventure. It always has up at the top there where you're located at any given point. And, you know, sure enough, I can go ahead and turn the keyboard on and, you know, walk my way through. What? It's been a while since I played Zork, and this is going to be so exciting, but south. South of house, you are facing the south side of the White House. There is no door here, and all of the windows are boarded east. Yes, this is exciting television right here, folks. Behind house, you are behind the White House. Okay, so you get the point.
There's nothing better than a text-based adventure game.
Totally.
No, but you got to understand that these were the real deal back in 1985, right?
I mean, these were huge. And I knew bringing this into the arena that I was kind of giving it up and that somebody else was going to win.
Because there really isn't a whole lot to this.
But if that's what you're passionate about and you love it, then there's other people out there that will be loving it too.
I got to tell you, about once every year and a half, I'll download a DOS emulator and pull up the old Sierra Adventure games. So it's that same itch that's being scratched with these text games. Man, they were great.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, like you use your imagination in a way that you don't kind of get.
I mean, honestly, it's a lot different. And I've looked for video games that have and Chad will probably tell me I can do it in Minecraft. But I've been looking for games that scratch this itch where you have to be a different kind of creative, where it's not so much just shooting the thing in front of you or like figuring out some sort of puzzle. I mean, like with those adventure games, you actually had to think and be like, okay, what do I have in my inventory? What
where did that come
in front
from?
Of me? How do you know? I got to go talk to that guy. You could get stuck in those games and not be able to finish.
Oh, yeah. If you entered into like a maze portion of it and you weren't actually mapping out exactly where you're going, you get lost forever.
Yeah, no, I respect, man. Tons of respect.
This app isn't the most user-friendly app in the world necessarily. I mean, it does very basic things, but it allows you to interpret these Z-Machine files and turn it into a game that you can actually control in the way that they're meant to be controlled. You can save by entering, just for anyone that happens to download this, there is no like menu option to save or restore, but you can do it by entering save as a text command and then by entering restore. So keep that in mind. But I don't know, like when I found this, it just kind of, it got me in a certain, like I haven't thought of these text-based adventures for a really long time, yet I have very vivid memories when I was a kid of what these worlds inside Zork actually looked like. And it's, I don't know, it's almost as if I saw a movie and that's what I remember. And so seeing this just kind of gave me a smile. I was like, okay, cool. I can play this on my phone, you know, when I want to. And I've had a lot of fun playing through it.
I can see the boxes these games came in.
Yes. Clear. Oh,
The gray box with the lines. And oh man, these are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So check it out. It's not without its faults. Twisty. It's open source software, and it's I don't know if it's even still being updated. It's been a while since it was updated last, but it allows you to play some pretty cool text-based adventures. There you go, Twisty. How nerdy.
Awesome.
There you go. Chad, it's your turn.
Okay, cool. So I need to route some cameras around. There we go. So my app is pretty basic and pretty standard. I found this app. It came in via an email from the developer, and they gave us a few codes to use. So I downloaded it because of that, and then I ended up really, really, really liking it. And that was sent a few months ago. So it is called Lapse It, and it is a simple time lapse capture and editor. So what you can do, and let me go ahead and cut over to my phone, is let me go ahead back to the home screen. It looks the icon is that sort of rainbow-styled icon. Go ahead and open it up. And when you're at the home screen, you can either create a new capture, go to your gallery, or change some settings. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new capture, show you what that looks like. When you're in here, you can do it either in portrait or landscape because I would like to, say, render this out to a video later. I'm going to do it in this mode. And then you have your options to capture a frame every 1 second. You can either change that by typing in, let's say, every 5 seconds. And then you're going to do math on, you can even set later when you render the movie how many frames per second the movie is rendered at. So it gives you whatever control you want. You also have milliseconds and minutes. So if you want to go really, really long, you can change it to minutes and make it, super, super long of a render. Sorry, I'm trying to zoom in here. Bam.
There we go.
You also have a stop motion mode. So if you wanted to create, beautiful claymations, you can choose the stop motion mode, and then you'll just get it. You'll just hit the capture button each time that you want to do that. I'm going to switch back to not stop motion, just to that. And then you have your resolution settings. So you can go, you can create a 240 up to 1080p resolution on the video. And then you have even more settings where you can set your focus so that it won't change during your your capture, and you have white balance modes and then some color effects. Now, I'm going to go back to some things that I've created. So I'm going to go to my galleries. And I've created a few, and I actually rendered out one movie. So I was actually doing this one during the during All About Android, and you have some options. It shows that this has not been rendered before. I can zip this up and send it somewhere else. I can delete it entirely, or I can get rid of the dialogue. Let's go ahead and view the details of this time lapse. And you can see a preview. It's not going to be as smooth as when you render it out, but you can see this was me switching All About Android during the arena. So
the hand kind of going.
Right. Yeah. Moving all around, right? So I'm going to jump back. And what I would do if I wanted to render that is... Nope, cancel. Go back. Oh, sorry. To render, you actually need to go back into your portrait mode. View details. And then you have some options. You can trim your project. You can add effects like filters. So if I really wanted to go, say, make it be black and white, I could do that. I believe it's locking up here. There we go. Black and white. We have some colorization effects, sepia, that sort of thing. I'm going to stay back on normal. Then you can also add music. So if you add music, you can go into your music library and you get to choose whatever the heck you want. Let's go ahead and say... this Daft Punk song. It'll preview it. And then you can say, okay. And then you get to decide where you want it. And this is a really long song. The song is super long. So its preview is a little bit borked. But let's go ahead and remove music for this. And then when you render and you hit render, it's going to... Oops, sorry. I actually stepped ahead. You can either set the frame rate right here, so you can go more frames or less frames. Let's set that back at 30. There we go. That looks good. And then you have this little extra button right here, and you can change a whole lot more options in here to be, you know, what quality, what encoder you use. You can do move a flash file. You can do all sorts of stuff, and this will render out your video. And when you hit render, it takes a little while. So... I did this before with a lapse of Leo, and you can see that this time lapse is going to take around 3 minutes and 30 seconds. It looks like it is 152 frames long, so I have a longer one back here. This one was 600 and something frames, and that took around 15 minutes to encode. And this is what the end video ended up looking like. And so you can see that it looks way better than the... original than the preview that we got to see. And this is in 1080. So if I wanted to quickly throw this up, like say while I was repairing a car or cleaning the house or whatever, you know, whatever the heck you wanted to do, you could easily throw your phone up. It also has it also works great on a tablet, and that might be nice. Now then, the one thing that I do want to point out is that it eats battery life like crazy. So I have – this was when I did the very first capture. This is just a screenshot of my battery, and it kills it. So if you're going to do it for a really, really long time –
plugged in.
Yeah, you want it to be plugged in. And then finally – you can schedule time lapses. I didn't play around with that, but that was just a feature that they mentioned that you can schedule time lapses. So if you had a
sunset,
right? If you wanted a sunset for a month, you know, you could get that. And then I also just like the UI. It has sort of a blended ice cream sandwich with their own custom button sort of UI. I got the pro version. I was actually not able to figure out what the difference between the pro version and the free version is. I assume that the free version has ads, but it didn't say on their page what the difference, what you got when you got the pro version. So
I think I have the free version. I'm checking.
Yeah, I'm looking around
it
real
must
quickly.
Obviously limit you on how much.
It seems like
time
they should limit you
could,
on something. Yeah.
How much time or how long you can record?
But it's only $2, and especially if you're going to use it to make, say, YouTube videos or show your friends something.
$2.99. $1.99.
$1.99. Yeah, right. It's $2. $1.99.
No ads.
I'm not sure. It may be that you can't do high definition. Maybe you can only do standard definition. That seems like something.
For $2 and you've got a phone that can actually do it, you should.
Right. Become a Lapsit professional. You'll have access to the following features and more. High definition.
Capture
using your camera's maximum resolution and render in full HD up to 1080p. Enchanting effects.
Oh.
For you World of Warcraft players. Your videos will look even more amazing with our awesome. I'm crashing now. Our awesome built-in filters, including the famous tilt shift effect and more. Soundtrack, set your clips on another level.
Need some sugar.
You can use any of your library of songs as a soundtrack. Unlimited features without ads. So use your creativity without limitation. Access
bucks.
To future
yeah.
updates.
It sounds like, pay the two bucks, get a really nice pro app. And especially if you want to show it off to your friends, this is awesome. And I really suggest it for something like a tablet because capturing the first thing that I did, it was like I left it around and then I thought that I had lost my phone. I forgot that I had set it to time lapse mode and put it in a corner. So I'd suggest for a tablet or something like this. It also, if you have an iOS device, they also have iOS compatibility.
So what's interesting about this is that this was on my short, like every couple of weeks I build a list of apps that I think are Arena potential, and this was on it, and I have it on my phone. And the reason why I haven't done it yet is because I haven't had time to actually do a time lapse because I don't live, like my apartment is on the first level, so it's not like I've got like a street in front of me. Like I didn't have anything to time lapse, and so I just didn't prep a demo.
Right, and it's funny because the other day I fixed my dryer broke and I had to take it all the way apart and I was just like, wow, this would be really cool to take a time lapse of, and I didn't think to pull out my phone and do it, but I wish I would have.
I wish you had.
It's been like
and to demonstrate, here's me taking apart my
dryer.
Yeah,
but no, but the lesson of this story is in the arena you snooze, you lose.
That's true.
So there you go.
Very, very
good
true.
Job, Chad.
Good Thanks. Job, Chad. Nice demo.
Very good.
All right, we'll go last. And how often do you find yourself in
doing text-based adventures?
Yes.
Oh.
How often do you find yourself in the country that you live in thinking, God, I wish I could watch that program that's across the pond? God, I wish I could watch that program.
You mean Downton Abbey?
That is in the States. Maybe you need your own VPN, your own virtual private network. Well, I stumbled upon a little app that I think is very useful. And you can actually download it on your PC as well. And I like it because it's called Tunnel Bear. And there's bears in the icon. There's a bear in their little ad there. Simple, private, free access to the global internet. You. So it's free in the Google Play Store. And it works with most devices. Now, I do have to say, I think, well, depending upon the player that you're trying to use, most often you'll probably need Flash on your device. All right. So once you launch Tunnel Bear, it asks you to create an account free. You get 500 megabytes per month. You can up that for various prices. You know, you can up that I'll go over the pricing in just a minute, but essentially this is what it looks like when you launch and you have your account set up. It just takes one quick email verification and it tracks how much I have left. So I just downloaded this app and I just used it for the first time today. So my 500 is already down to 465. You could choose between US and UK servers or VPN servers, and apparently more are coming soon. I'm using UK, of course, and all you do, once you have it set here, you have your account going, you hit that little click on, and then it says in the notification bar that it's connecting, and in just a few minutes, it'll say VPN is activated by Tunnel Bear, connected to UK server, managed to touch the network. So you can have that going in your background now. I might do this 1 gig promo, by the way. Look at this. He's working. The bear's working. Animation working. Okay, so yeah, there's some show that I like to watch in the UK called
Downtown.
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 It's called Downtown.
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey or something like that. Again, you have to have Flash. So let's just try it, shall we? So I'm going to go to ITV, a network in the UK, And if I go on my regular laptop here, I can't look at any of these videos because it's not available in my location. But, oh, hey, I want to check out this little video here, this little X Factor video. Let me try that.
See, this is dangerous.
It's a little
dangerous.
This
is how I can fall back into my Hollyoaks obsession.
Your Hollyoaks obsession? Yeah,
it's a soap opera in England that every time I go to England, I fall and I start watching.
Really? Okay, actually, let me go back here. So this video, I tapped on the wrong thing. I want to, okay, my fingers are, it doesn't go landscape. What's up with that? Okay, so there we go. So I want to watch this little video here. It's a little music video. And again, on my, I don't know if you can see it here, but it says not available in my location. But I am in this location, and why can I watch it right now? Because of Tunnel Bear.
Thank you, Tunnel Bear.
Now you have to go through the ads and whatnot. But that's essentially it. That's how it works. I think more servers are going to be included later. It's a simple on and off.
That's pretty cool.
You can get 1 gig of data. Just by doing that little thing here, the little tweet out.
I want to see the video. No, don't go back.
Oh, you don't want me to see? You want to see the video?
Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Watch Jeremy Douglas sing "Say a Little Prayer" by Aretha Franklin. Do you really want to see? I couldn't play that on my laptop, and now all of a sudden I can't. And Ron is riveted. There you go. And Downton Abbey fans,
or X Factor fans, or Hollyoaks fans.
This might be the app for you. So if I go in here, and if I want to hit upgrade really quick, I'm just going to hit the little bear upgrade. You could see the different plans. So you could choose your Tunnel Bear. 12 months for unlimited data. Looks like $29.99, 3 months, $7.99, 1 month, $2.99.
You know what this is probably great for? This is good if you're traveling.
Yeah.
If you travel for business and you still want to watch I'm trying to think of legitimate uses.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to watch Hulu when you're in Canada.
In Uruguay.
Wherever. Wherever you go. I don't know where you would be.
Also if you
turn it off right now.
With sports, MLB TV and stuff like that, they have blackout restrictions. This could be a good way to get around the blackout restrictions.
Oh, you should try. Oh, you were so angry about a lot of your blackout restrictions.
Because I get excited. It's Saturday afternoon. I'm going to get a sandwich. I'm going to watch the ball game. Oh, it's on Fox and it's national blackout. Although now I have my HD antenna hooked back up and I can just watch Fox now. But still, but I don't like to, I like to internet my TV now. I don't want to. Commercials are awful.
Anyway, it seems like a really good solution here for some of you. And very, very easy to use. So that is Tunnel Bear, and it's free in the Google Play Market right now for 500 megabytes a month. Again, if you want more, I'm going to try. Maybe I should. I don't know if I should do this 1 gig Twitter promo. Tweet about Tunnel Bear for 1 free gigabyte of data each and every month.
You could do it and then blame it on the show.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, I had to do that. I was showing off the app on the show. Yeah.
So if you see that little spam, it's because I just wanted the free 1 gigabyte. But. Okay, so that's it. That's my app. It's called Tunnel Bear.
There you go. Tunnel Bear VPN. All right, so three amazing apps and one...
Self-deprecating humor.
Four amazing apps in today's arena. Dayframe, Twisty, Lapsit, and Tunnel Bear VPN.
I believe in your app, Jason. I believe in it.
I believe in your app.
I'm still going to vote for my own, though.
Yeah. AAApoll.com/82. AAApoll.com/82.
Just because they like a different voice.
What? Lapsit. is a little ahead right now I'm seeing 54%.
I see seven
of
votes.
The votes.
Yeah.
I've got four votes.
There we go.
Things are looking up.
There we go.
All right, we'll follow this closely all week.
Fine. You just keep watching your own TV in your own country and don't explore.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, don't see what else is out there. Don't broaden your horizons.
Listen, Eileen, I don't want you to get too excited, but Venezuela is behind you.
Thank you, Venezuela. Whoever I really in the appreciate audience is in Venezuela. You know, because they want to watch our shows.
Yeah, I think,
and you should be able to.
I think Eileen has the international market here.
Yeah, I think she might, yeah.
Of Venezuela.
Just all of them, like...
Venezuela.
U.S., it's fair game, but international, all Eileen.
So, you know, that's all you need, probably.
That's all you need. All you need is love.
All right, that is it. First of all, quick thanks to Jim Garrison, who has continued to clean up the All Apps page on the wiki at wiki.twit.tv. It's now totally comprehensive. It covers all of the apps we've discussed on the show. Mm-hmm. And it also denotes which apps were in the arena and allows you to sort by those and everything. So it's pretty much the definitive guide of all the apps we've discussed. So if you're, you know, thinking about apps that you want to download on your phone, go there and just pull up the arena list. It's at wiki.twit.tv. Go to the All About Android page and it's listed right there.
Awesome.
So very cool. Thank you, Jim Garrison, and everybody that works on the wiki. We appreciate it. All right, that's it. It's time for closing remarks.
Someone's been watching the debates.
Wrong.
So if you enjoyed my ranting, you can go to ifanboy.com, which is a website all about comic books where I podcast from there. And I rant on there often, but about comics. And if you enjoy anything else, you can follow me. Go to about.me/RonXO. Links to all my Twitter, Google+, Facebook, all that fun stuff where you can find me and the insanity that follows behind me in a blaze of destruction.
I really feel the energy.
Yeah,
like,
just really dropping
it's
down.
To go,
yeah, all that sugar. We started late. I had timed the sugar intake just enough.
And then we started late.
Yeah, then we started late. So that's what happens.
Shoot.
Yeah.
In a half an hour, you're going to be whispering.
I know, yeah. Shh. Ron needs to sleep.
All right, Eileen.
You can find me.
Where can we find you?
About.me/EileenRose. Oh, you guys, are you guys going to do it? Okay.
No, it's up to you.
Well, I don't know. A little announcement. I got a new job.
Yay!
Working for a little company called YouTube.
Woo!
Wait, huh?
Who owns?
What? Who? What? Where?
I never heard of it.
YouTube? Wait. It's do they like have this own? Video
Oh, that's not going to work.
Is it like
video
a cloning?
On the
it sounds like
on
a
internet.
Cloning
you
service.
You
too?
You
know
haven't
what?
Heard about that?
The server cost alone will be crippling.
Yeah. Wow. Well, whoa.
Where do they get the bandwidth?
They say
they're
going to be revolutionizing video on the web.
It's a crackpot.
So I kind of thought, all right, cool, I'll join that. That'd
video
be
on
awesome.
The internet never worked. But anyway.
Never worked.
Yeah. So, but part of the gig means I'm moving to LA. Los Angeles. The place of my birth, actually. So,
literally, that's where you're moving to the hospital where you were born.
I am.
I mean, that's
actually,
really,
it doesn't
that's really
even
why
exist
it's, a heart,
anymore,
it's a heartwarming
but
story.
I'm
yeah,
going
to
go to that spot where it used to.
There's condos there on the site. Yeah. And no, sorry.
So, I will not be in the Brick House a lot. By the end of November. And I don't really know what it means for the show, and I've posted this on my G+ account. I don't really know. About time. I also don't know about if I'm allowed, you know, to keep doing the show for obvious reasons, I think.
Because
who owns YouTube? We are just playing it by ear. I don't have all
We're
my information.
Right now.
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I don't start till mid-November, and I don't really have all the information on everything yet, so I'm not going to just presume at this point. I am still here, and I'll be here next week.
And we are immensely excited for you, and despite my passive-aggressive comments before the show... YouTube is they are gaining an asset, so we're very excited for you.
Yeah, super thrilled for you.
Yeah,
so happy
I'm very,
for you.
Very excited. So, anyways, that's the big news. And
cool. Well,
you know, I'm here for at least another 4 weeks,
and then after that, you're dead to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Youch.
I have no promises, but Eileen about.me/EileenRose. Just find me there. G+, I'm on there. Twitter, I'm on there. Eileen TV, you find me.
And we'll weather this storm. We'll
yes,
be
you
okay.
will. Everything will be fine.
Oh, I will survive.
That's the one thing that I really do enjoy about our little this show and folks at Twit and folks at Rev3, like our little kind of our circle of friends, is everyone's very supportive of what everyone does.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You've got
I
a great
so.
Opportunity, and I haven't heard anybody say a negative thing about it.
No,
and that's what's great. So
I know.
I mean,
I've gotten nothing but love, which is really, really cool.
Which is rightfully earned.
Obviously, I made the right choice.
Yeah.
Yep. Seems like everyone's behind me, so yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, if you do well, we all do well. That's how we're all looking at it. You know? Yeah. So one of us does well, then we're pulling for you.
But anyway, I'll be sharing more about that in the coming months. And for now, let's just, everything stays the same.
There you go. All right. You know what hasn't changed? Where you can find me.
That's right.
About.me/Jason Howell. Although, you know, a year ago, my Twitter ID did change from Raygun01 to Jason Howell. But don't worry, it's not changing again, so no more change. All right, that's it for this week. Voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email. Go ahead and attach a link to a video in that email, and it becomes a video mail. It's magical. AAA@twit.tv. Chad.
Oh, hi. My name's Chad. You can find me at omgchad.com. I do a show called OMG Craft on the Twit Network. Bye.
I just thought about it. I was like, we should say, OMG, Chad.
The music's already started in the show.
You can't stop the music. All right. You guys are awesome. Whatever for the rest of the show. See you later.
I'm going to watch Downton Abbey. Just kidding. No, I'm not.